Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Alfonso Jackson, Deputy Secretary of the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Well, Alfonso, can you tell us about the management challenges that you and the Secretary faced when you first arrived at the department?
I don't want to be critical, but I want to be honest with you. From my perspective, as I've stated on a number of occasions in the President's Management Council, I do not think HUD had been managed very well. In fact, the problem that we were confronted with is that you had separate entities operating as if they were all HUD. What is it that I mean by that? You had the Community Development and Planning Division operating as if it was HUD. You had Public and Indian Housing operating as if it was HUD. There was no coordination between any assistant secretary and the deputy secretary. They were like little fiefdoms. So when you have little fiefdoms, you can't coordinate, period. Our first task was to eliminate the fiefdoms. Secondly, is to begin to say we must coordinate all of our activities so that the Assistant Secretary of Community Development and Planning understood the role of the Assistant Secretary of Planning, Development, and Research. And they had to understand those roles and see how they juxtaposed with each other to make the agency work better. That was our first task. In doing that, we were very successful because we have what we call the Assistant Secretary lunching every Thursday. They meet together to discuss issues. And we have what we call the Executive Management Council, which meets monthly to discuss issues and how they cross-pollen with each other in this agency. Then what occurred after that is that the President's management agenda, as you know, was set by our President. This is a unique situation in the sense that our president is a manager. He has an MBA. And he said that if we're going to run government, it should be ran basically like a private corporation. But you can only do that if you have coordination between all of the deputy secretaries and the secretaries. So the president's management agenda set out five initiatives, basically human capital, set out five human capital, improving our financial systems, improving our information and technology system, and improving the ability to carry government in a very fine and unique way. We have been monitoring those issues for the last 2 years to make sure that our information technology system is much better than what it was. In fact, I hate to tell you this, that when we walked in there, we had over 300 independent systems and information technology that did not talk to each other. That is unbelievable. Where when I was in private life, I had one information technology system that talked to 3,200 people. The other thing is that we had about 23 different financial systems, and the chief financial officer didn't necessarily take care of all of those systems. So we had to coordinate that, and we're in the process of doing that. So human resources, unbelievable. We had private little entities handling human resources for each one of the respective divisions. So we've had to coordinate that and say, no, we have one human resource person that takes care of all that, and that's the Assistant Secretary for Administration and the Chief Information Officer. So it's been a very, very difficult task to coalesce all of these different entities to meet the President's management agenda, but we're doing it very well at this point. We've got a long ways to go, but we're much further than we were before.
You talked about when you and the Secretary arrived, the feeling of lots of stovepipes and lots of little groups that didn't talk to each other, and you described how you got them to talk to each other. You made it seem kind of easy, so I'm curious, were there management challenges, was there resistance, and how did you get people to work together?
It was not easy, and I think that only in the last 18 to 20 months did we begin to see the process jail. For years, not only this agency, HUD, but other agencies, as I said, they operated as little fiefdoms. And it didn't matter whether it was Republican or Democrat, so I'm not critical of either one. What was the issue is that once the assistant secretary or the general deputy assistant secretary came in, some of the career staff would convince them that they should not have relationships with the other entities. Our position was that can't be, because if we continue the way we're going to do it, we will still be the most troubled agency in government. So I set out basically to do something very simple, just to have assistant secretaries talking to each other, have deputy, general deputy, assistant secretaries talking to each other and coordinating efforts between all of the different entities within the agency. Only when they realized I was serious did we begin to see things change. It's like any other entity. They felt that after a while I would not pay any attention. One of the things that the secretary and I came to the conclusion is this. As I said to him and we agreed, we can't resolve every problem at HUD, but we can leave our legacy. So what I said, and he agreed, as the chief operating officer, I would pick four or five major problems that we had in the agency the first year, and we try to resolve those. And we did. We picked another four or five for the second year, and we resolved most of those. We picked five this year and resolved three of them. So even though we might still have problems in the agency, we're zeroing in on those problems. The best example, as I can tell you, is we've narrowed down the information technology problems that we've had because we've taken down from 300 to about 210 systems, and we expect to do much better. Our financial accounting system is much better than it was the day we walked in there. The Real Estate Settlement Act was a problem. But see, my position is that you have to zero in on certain things. Otherwise, you will be fighting fires and you will get no end results in the final analysis. And that's traditionally what has happened at HUD. I can't speak for any other agency, but what we've decided to do, and I think why the secretary has been so successful, is we've zeroed in on certain issues, resolved those issues, and continue to resolve those issues, even though we might have serious problems other places.
Let me take you into parts of the president's management agenda. In terms of sourcing, we know that HUD is actively trying to meet small business goals, which include doing up to or maybe more 50% of the HUD contracting with small businesses. Could you tell us about this effort?
You know, it's really unbelievable that the small business guidelines are very clear. And those guidelines simply says that every agency in government should make every effort to do up to 50% small business procurement and contracting. It does not a quota, not a set aside. It just says you have to make an effort. And it also says that with a major contractor, you should try to do up to 40% subcontracting with small disadvantaged 8A women-owned business. Doesn't say quota or set aside. It says make the effort. HUD had not made that effort. I mean, the bulk of our contracts that existed in that agency was basically to 11 major companies who had a very, very poor record of subcontracting and It was just unbelievable. It was just not there with women-owned, 8A, HUB, small business. It just wasn't there. Well, having worked for the president in Texas, and not literally being paid, but having been chairman of the Jones Service Commission, the president had a firm belief, which I agree with, that we should practice affirmative access. And that is, people who are capable of doing the work should be given every opportunity to do the work first with the state government. And that's exactly the way he felt with the federal government. So my question to the staff is, why is it that we're not doing more procurement with small businesses in this agency? And what most people don't understand is the bulk of business in this country is small business. It is not. And if we have been doing business with large corporations for 10, 15, 20 years, that means we have effectively closed small businesses out. So I said, no, we need to find capable and competent small businesses, work with them. And when we can work with them, we do. So basically what we have done, where we've had these huge contracts for 30, 40, 50 million, we've debundled them. And the good thing about it is everybody now knows we've got some tremendous small businesses in this country that are performing very well for HUD and can perform very well for any of the agencies in government if given the opportunities. And I always like to stress, it's not a quota, not a set aside. It's not about race. It's about giving opportunities to demonstrate their abilities to do work with the federal government. And it's worked very, very well. The other part of outsourcing is this. It simply says where the work can be done outside better than it can be done inside, we should do it. HUD has a very unique situation in the sense that in 1995, we cut 6,000 workers out of a budget, out of a HUD of 15,000 people. And I believe that we need, at this point in time, to bring in-house some of the work that we have competitively sourced out. Where we can, we will. And I think in information technology, it is probably better to outsource it. But in certain areas, it is better to have in-house persons to do the work. And OMB and Congress has been working well with us.
How about in terms of some of the HR challenges you faced?
That has been very difficult. And we're very fortunate to have an assistant secretary in Vickers Meadows who has had the experience of working for the president both at the state level. So she understands his management style and understands exactly how we need to revamp our human resource. We have set up what we call succession strategy, which we did not have in HUD. That is, HUD has the most aging workforce of any agency in government. We could lose in 3 years 62% of our employees, but we had no succession plan. Because, again, if I might reiterate, they operated as if they had their own fiefdom. We have a succession plan. Secondly, we had no plans for looking at where the help or the work was most needed. We've completed a study, which was the reallocation estimate apportionment of where we needed people in that agency. And that was done under Assistant Secretary Meadows. So we are beginning to address the human resource needs. And that was one of the greatest criticisms of the GA audit. It was we didn't have a succession plan. We didn't have a real human resource plan. And today they will tell you that they're quite pleased, so is OMB, that we're moving forward. Now, I'm not going to sit and tell you that we've got it 100% in place, but I can tell you that it's probably about 56, 57% in place. But when we walked in there, there was no plan at all to address the human resource needs in our agency.
Good stopping points. Go to a break. Come back after the break as we continue our conversation about management with Alfonso Jackson of HUD. How was HUD involved in the events of 9/11, and what role does it have in Homeland Security? We'll ask Alfonso to bring us up to date when the Business of Government Hour continues.